This is Erin.
This is Jessica.
And this is episode 4 of the Double Knit Podcast.
It's very hot here this morning, and it's actually morning. I dragged Erin out of bed.
Yeah.
Really early so that we could record before I go to work.
Yeah.
So
it's not as hot as yesterday, though.
No. Definitely not as hot as yesterday, thank goodness.
It was kind of, like, smarmy yesterday.
Smarmy.
Like, oppressing.
Yes.
Humid in the evening, but not during the day, because it got all overcast and weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought there was going to be lightning.
Oh.
It looked like that.
Oh, well.
Okay.
So, what's on your needles right now,
Anna? Forbes Forest. Mm-hmm. I'm, like, halfway done, which is awesome. And haven't touched Pomatumus and haven't touched Lady Eleanor.
Did I miss you starting Pomatumus?
I think
I missed that. Did we talk about that?
I'm not sure.
What are you knitting Pomatumus in?
That stuff that turns my fingers blue. The Blue Moon Fiber Arts.
Right.
Spinel colorway.
Okay.
I have half of the first chart done.
Oh, right. Okay.
And I just sat down and did it one evening, and it's just sitting there.
Okay.
But Lady Eleanor, I kind of dislike it so much. I'm thinking about ripping it all out, getting rid of the yarn, and doing it in, like, Noro or something.
Oh, my gosh.
Can't handle it.
Haven't you been working on that for, like, months and months and months?
Yeah, but it's that every time I get to the end of a ball, I'm at the end of the second ball, so I'm, like, halfway done.
Oh, okay. I thought you were further along than that.
And it doesn't take me that long to get through, you know. I usually sit down and do a full repeat of the squares, of the square pattern, the entrelock pattern, mm-hmm. or two, like, in a couple hours.
Did you see your mom pick the yarn out, though?
Yeah, she did.
For herself.
Yeah, but she might not remember what she picked out.
Let's hope.
I'm thinking about...
Let's hope she doesn't listen to the podcast.
Yeah, I don't think she does. So, sister, if you're listening to this, don't tell mom.
Okay.
But I think it might be good, and like lots of people did it in like Silk Garden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to have to look at that and decide what I'm going to do, because I really just don't like the yarn.
Mm.
But I finished the woodland shawl. I decided that I was tired of looking at it, and instead of just taking it to knitting for the next, like, month or so, I just sat down last week and pretty much finished it. And then at knitting, I did finish it at knitting. I just had to graft the two mm-hmm. sides together. So I just have to block it.
Cool.
And I think that's it.
Okay. I have finished a whole bunch of stuff since the last time we recorded. Because I've been avoiding my Auburn Camp shirt. Or not avoiding the Auburn Camp shirt, but after a while it gets a little boring. And I'm still working on the back. But last time I had talked about the Creepy Cute Crochet book that I got at TNNA. And how I was saying that I thought the book was a little disappointing. And, you know, whatever my quibbles were with it. But my kids loved it. And so they were begging me to make them something out of it. So I made...
Did they say two of everything?
Yes, they said two. Well, one for each of them. Of everything in the book. So I started with Nosferatu and made that, and then the requests kept coming in. So I made the Corporate Zombie, and then I made the Grim Reaper. And so I've definitely learned a few things. So in the book, all the parts, all the weapons, and the felt pieces, and the eyes are all glued on. Like, the eyes are all made out of female clay. Everything's glued on, but for real children to play, I mean, I think the ones in the book are just... you know, designed for 20-somethings to sit on your desk or something. So for children to play with, I couldn't do that. So I used buttons, but one suggestion I would make, I use shank buttons on mine, which creates kind of a googly eye effect. So like when I was putting the eyes on the Grim Reaper, he's got this little hood on, and then I made the eyes are all really wide set in the book for that sort of cute amigurumi look. I sewed them on the first time, and he looked just like Igor from Young Frankenstein. Like, one eye was sticking out further than the other. And anyway, so I would recommend don't use shank buttons. And the other thing that I didn't think about until after I tried to sew some of the felt pieces on is I would pre-punch stitching holes in the felt, because when you're trying to poke your way through the felt into the stuffed animal, you end up kind of just, like, sucking the felt into the animal.
Yeah.
Or not animal. Creature, whatever. So I would definitely try to punch holes beforehand. But, so the kids love them. They're having a lot of fun with them. They still keep demanding, like, they want me to make the monkey, which the ratings in the book are, like, easy, beginner, intermediate, and epic. And the monkey is epic rated, and so I keep telling them, I don't think I'm good enough to make this one yet, because he's, like, this organ grinder monkey, and he's got a vest and a fez, and He's got all sorts of bits and pieces that I'm sure I'll screw up because I'm not very good at crocheting. But since I'm not that good at crocheting, I, of course, did another crochet project, because which was a total tail wags the dog, like, ridiculous, stupid thing I did. When the new Knitty came out, we were saying we both like the BYOB bag that's in there. Really cute two-tone bag done in cottonese. And I have some cottonese, and I thought I had some more that wasn't in my stash in Ravelry, and I couldn't remember what happened to it, but I thought I must still have it. So I started digging through, and then I did that thing that happens when you start digging through your stash where you start, well, not when you start digging through, when I start digging through my stash, where I, you know, I find something and I go, oh, right, oh, this thing, oh, I want to do this with this, and da, 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 and I get totally distracted and I end up going in a completely different direction than I meant to. And one of the things I found when I was digging around, not successfully finding any cottonies, was I found these two, a blue and a white skein of what I think is All Hemp 3 that I got from someone at Pearly Girls who was moving out of state and was sort of doing a big stash. She brought everything one night and just sort of picked through stuff. And so I found that and I thought, oh, well, that will make a good shopping bag. And then I went on Ravelry and I started looking for shopping bags and somehow I ended up instead crocheting a string bag out of these two things of hemp instead of making the pattern that I wanted. Which I still don't really understand how I ended up doing that. But anyway, so I crocheted a little bag that I think was it was a free pattern. I can't remember which site it came from. You'd have to look at my Ravelry queue for it. But anyway, what I learned from that is I'm still not very good at crochet. And I'm still really slow at it because I looked at it and I'm like, oh, it's a little string bag. It'll take me maybe like a couple of days. It took like over a week. Totally sucked up all my knitting time, didn't get to work on anything else because I was just like working furiously on this stupid bag. And then I was just telling you before we started recording, the next thing I was doing that I don't even remember how this happened, that I offered to make the kids a little Totoro from a little amigurumi from the movie My Neighbor Totoro. I didn't look at the pattern that carefully and I thought it was like, you know, amigurumi size, but It's huge. Once I started working on it, I was like, God, this is getting really big. And I realized I wasn't even like a third of the way done with the body, and it was already like the size of a child's hat. And started looking at more of the pictures on Ravelry and started seeing pictures of these finished dolls that, like, with the ears were the length of a child's torso. And realized I'm going to be making like an 18-inch high Totoro doll. And I need to go buy twice as much yarn as I thought I needed for it. And, anyway, so dopey me, but I'm about halfway through his ginormous body right now. And also, another thing I finished since we last... I've obviously been, like, going for, like, the little projects. I knit a foliage hat from the Sheep 2 that I got.
Pretty. I like the color.
Yeah, it's that kind of peacock blue that we're seeing everywhere for fall. Yeah. Like, we got in Namaste bags at the shop, and someone...
I snatched one up.
Yeah, Erin got herself that Newport tote.
It's awesome.
In the peacock color. It's very pretty. But so I made a foliage out of sheep too, which was a really fun, quick project. Since that's the bulky weight, it's just it took one night to knit the hat. It's so fast. And someone, I think Amanda finally pointed out to me, I kept saying sheep one or sheep two, and I couldn't remember which was which. Or did you point this out to me? I can't remember. And someone finally said, the number is the number of plies. And I was like, oh, okay. So the sheep one is the single that's the worsted weight. And the sheep two is the bulky, which is two plies. And the sheep three is the sport weight that's three plies. So
that makes sense.
Thank goodness someone finally pointed that out.
I don't think it was me.
No, okay. So I just, and then I showed the yarn to someone yesterday. I'm like, this is the sheep three. And she said, oh, because there's three plies. I'm like, how come everybody figured this out but me? I don't know. I didn't figure that one out. But, and I also started... I ripped out the RPM sock, which we talked about a while ago, because I had to knit Ziggy, which is also from the new Knitty, and I started it over the weekend, and I've got a little bit of the first one done. It's starting to zig. It's toe up, which is not my preferred sock knitting method. I don't know. I was trying to think about it while I was working on it. I find the beginning of toe up socks so frustrating. Something about like doing all those increases on that little number of stitches, it's like really tight, and it's just, I don't know, for some reason, like decreasing down a toe to me seems easier than increasing up a toe. I don't know why.
Well, yeah, but I think Stash and Burn talked about that. It's easier to make matching decreases that look good than increases.
I think for me it was just how tight it is. You know, trying to, like, there's several parts of it where you're doing an increase on either side of each side, every row. So trying to do, like, a make one into that space when you've just done an increase on the row below, it's like you run out of yarn there to do those increases. So I was really struggling trying to, I was making my hands really sore working on that. But yeah, I've got a couple of rows of zigs now. The colorway of the crayon sock that I'm using for it is not super high contrast, so I was getting I got worried a little bit when I first started, you know, would I even be able to see the pattern on it? But it's showing up pretty well. And yeah, and it's really fun to work on.
Yeah.
So that's my
That's a lot.
I know. Well, I've been doing all these, like, little things at trying to avoid the camp shirt, which I really need to work on more. So
it'll still be there.
Yeah,
it's just
lurking.
She's waiting.
It'd be nice to finish it though, to wear it when it's still hot rather than finish it sometime in the middle of this winter.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to finish it before the next spring interweave is released, you know, maybe bring the whole project full circle within a calendar year. That would be good.
Yeah.
So we were going, well, I'm not going to talk about it because I don't knit for holidays. I don't knit for other people. But Erin has all sorts of holiday knitting plans.
Yeah. I'm due December 10th. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing I'm going to be a little bit busy around Christmas time. So
no last minute knitted holiday gifts for you.
No, which I totally did that last year and it worked out great. But I've always kind of half bought, half made people things for gifts. Since I was a kid. This year, I'm trying to get everything done, and it's working out really well. I joined the year-long gift-along that Brownberry is doing on Ravelry, and I was really good in January about getting my two projects done a month.
It's two a month.
Or two a quarter or something like that.
Okay.
Well, you can queue up five a month, and then you can, you know, cross them off as you finish them. And then you can roll them over and add more. Or add as few as you want. Whatever. And that was really good up until, like, my first trimester when I was tired all the time and did nothing. Like, nothing at all. So I've kind of slacked on that, but I've picked the knitting up. I just haven't been posting to the group at all. So I think the woodland shawl is for somebody.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure who yet.
For you, okay.
And then the Lady Eleanor is for my mom, which may get ripped out and re-knit. We'll see about that. And Forbes Forest that I'm halfway done with now is for my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And then I made that Mischievous Mouse and Sleepy Snake pattern for Mochi Mochi Land for my nephew.
Oh, I thought you'd already given that. I didn't realize that was a way ahead of time. Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
Cool.
And that turned out super cute. And I might make another one.
Are there stackable cats?
Oh, there are stackable cats.
We got Mochi Mochi Land patterns at the shop. I don't remember if we talked about that on the podcast. So we're carrying some of them now, and that was something I've been dangling in front of Erin to try to get her to finish up her Metal Man vest, was that when she finishes, she can knit stackable cats.
Stackable cats.
Stackable
They're
cats.
So cute.
They're fun.
And I did that Sally the Eco Fairy, but she's not all the way eco. Like, her body is.
I think your nieces will forgive you.
Yeah. And that's for one of my nieces. And then I decided for my other niece, because I'm trying to do, like, sections of family at a time, so I can, like, put them all in a box and have them ready to go, you know.
That's cool.
Close to Christmas, so Noah can mail them for me. But I'm going to do the backpack from Stitch and Bitch for my eldest niece, because she's a girly girl, and I want to do it pink, and then do it like you did, and do Hello Kitty on it. To try and find a charted pattern for that, or chart it myself.
That's a super quick one. For me, the only problem with that, I made that when I was really, really, really new knitter. I think I finished it before I even started my blog, and the only issue I had with it was that it took me forever to sew the lining in. Like, I had to insert a zipper, which for me was my Waterloo. I broke my sewing machine. I borrowed a friend's sewing machine. I broke her sewing machine. I was just, like, a complete disaster. But you're a very competent sober, which I was not at the time, so I'm sure that will be no problem for you. But it's a fun project. It goes really fast.
Oh, and I'm really excited to do I got a skein of Smooshy and Smooshy sock and TC flower.
You can't see. Anne's like wiggling her fingers in that sort of like uber villain like, I get to knit with Smooshy sock.
You can't see
you can't see it on a podcast, but
yeah.
We'll have to do a video podcast sometimes so you can see all the little like, the little gesturing things that we do that you can't actually hear. Yeah.
It's in deep sea flower, I think is the color. And I'm going to make the vintage gloves from Hand Knit Holidays and leave the beading off so she can actually machine wash them and make the cuff longer because the cuffs are kind of short.
And that's for your sister-in-law, you said?
Yeah, my sister-in-law. So that's that part of the family.
Cool.
So that's five knitted gifts.
So what else is planned for?
Because
that sounds like you're really on top of all of that. And yeah.
Well, those are pretty small things. Yeah. You know, scarves are just kind of tedious. You can do, like, another project at the same time. I was going to knit a sweater for Noah out of classic style.
Oh, okay. Oh, the sort of professor-y one?
Yeah. It's called His Llama Cardigan, which I think is kind of silly. And in that book, it has snaps, but I'm going to put buttons in. Because I don't think, if I go through the trouble of knitting a sweater, I'm not going to put snaps on it.
Mm-hmm. What are you going to knit that in?
Cascade 220, I think.
Good old Cascade 220.
Yeah. And probably a heathery color. Because it's just pretty simple. I was under the impression that he liked pullovers. So I always bought him pullovers for Christmas, like from the Gap, you know, plain wool pullovers that he wore to death. And apparently he likes cardigans.
Oh.
I had no idea. So I like that one. And I love that book and I haven't knit anything out of it.
Cool.
So I think that's the big stuff.
All right.
Lady Eleanor is kind of the Waterloo there.
Yeah. And then do you have baby knitting planned in there too, or are you assuming that?
Well, you know, babies are really small.
Yes,
that's true. I did that one. I did the JoJo crew neck sweater. My sister is doing a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She's all excited. Yeah. My mom's going crazy buying stuff. I told her to keep it because I have no place to put it. Like, there's no nursery prepared. We'll see if that gets done before December.
We still got time. It's, what is it? It's still June.
Yeah.
Or almost July, but.
Yeah. There's some. I have three skeins of the cotton stria that I'm going to do. I think it's some kind of kimono sweater thing from Natural Knits.
Oh, right.
For babies and moms.
Cool.
So I think I have just enough yarn for the small size.
Okay.
And we got Blue Sky.
Yes, we got Blue Sky Alpaca.
So, I definitely want to knit some stuff out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's the other thing. Cotton. I was going to knit some fingerless, like, gloves, kind of like Nux for my little brother.
Oh, right, out of the Sport Weight Alpaca.
The Sport Weight Alpaca.
So yeah, so that's soft. What we got in at the shop. We've got 17 shades of dyed cotton and undyed organic cotton. It's all organic. And then we got in 8 colors of the Sport Weight Alpaca. And it's so pretty. And
it is pretty.
And we set up a fixture for it, so it's just this little island of color in the middle of the shop. And it's just so nice to walk by it and see something new and bright and colorful and cheerful.
Touch it.
Yes.
I touch it.
Yeah. The cotton is ridiculously soft.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's just like fluffy, downy little clouds of cotton.
Yeah. No. So, I'm not sure about other baby knitting. I kind of refuse to knit a baby blanket.
Yeah, well, blankets are a little tedious.
Well, I mean, I think I'm knitting enough scarves
for
Christmas gifts and things, so...
Although, one thing in favor of knitting baby blankets is people are always pointing out babies grow out of baby sweaters remarkably fast. You know, if you make a 3-month size... It's not like the baby's going to be able to wear it for a full 3 months until they're in the next size. That by the time you, like, put it on the baby and then wash it and then put it back on the baby, you know, maybe by time number 3, if you're lucky, they've outgrown it. You know, most of the time it's like they wear it once. By the time it comes out of the wash, they've already outgrown it. So they never outgrow blankets.
That's true.
And so you can...
I think my sister already made me one, though.
Okay,
so.
Cool. You can never have enough baby blankets, though. That's one thing that you use a huge stack of, that you're just constantly throwing blankets on the kid because they get, you know, they do all sorts of unspeakable things to them, and you're constantly washing them, and it's good to have a million blankets. I wasn't knitting when my kids were little, but I had a huge stack of, like, I just go by the Gap when I was pregnant, and anytime I found one of their, like, cotton receiving blankets on clearance for $4, I would grab it, and I had a huge pile of them, and I used them all the time, so that's one of the most useful things I had when I had a new baby.
I still don't want to knit one.
I know. Okay. No. All right. That's okay. You don't have to want to knit one. Have you seen anything good lately?
I saw Get Smart, and I actually really liked it.
Yeah.
There were parts that were really, really funny and parts that were just kind of blah. Mm-hmm. Like, some of the action sequences I found kind of blah. I love Steve Carell, mm-hmm. and I love Alan Arkin.
Yeah.
And I thought they worked really well together. They play off each other really well. And Noah used to watch this show. Mm-hmm. So.
One of the things I haven't seen the film, but just in looking at the reviews for it, I never realized, I watched the show when I was a kid, but I never realized that the TV show was created by Mel Brooks and Buck Henry.
Yeah.
No clue. And now I'm like, well, maybe the show was a lot cooler than I remember, because I remember it being kind of silly, but it was, you know, definitely something that...
Steve Carell definitely has that dry humor thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever seen The Office, The American Office.
I can never get into that. Yeah. I'm a huge fan of The British Office, and so I couldn't quite...
It's that straight-laced, dry kind of humor where mm-hmm. the person is saying stuff that isn't necessarily funny to him, but... The delivery is really mm-hmm. funny, so
yeah.
I liked it. I watched Morris last night.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was pretty good. Think? I had no idea
Hugh Grant's in it.
I know,
and he's like 12. No, he's not 12, but he's very
from like 1985 or 1987.
It's a very fresh-faced Hugh Grant in that movie, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It's long. It's like 2.5 or 3 hours
I saw it a billion years ago, I don't remember. Well, I'm sitting here at Aaron's desk, and I see you've got little children at the top of your stack.
Yeah, I haven't watched that.
Oh, I love that. Okay. Can't wait to talk about that with you when you watch it. Okay.
Okay. I think that's it.
Okay.
I haven't been doing a whole lot. I've been rewatching. I rewatched some zombie movies, George Romero.
Yeah, that's one part, one area in which Aaron and I are not twins.
But I get to talk to Sarah about it.
Yeah, you love zombies. I do not.
I do like zombies.
I don't like any movie that involves eating brains. I'm just funny that way.
Oh, it's not just brains.
Not just brains. Okay.
They bite people. Gratuitous gore.
Yep.
I love it.
Don't like any of that. No, that's where our movie taste goes different ways. I've been watching a ton of stuff. You know, TV on hiatus. I've been like tearing through the Netflix queue. I've also, I just blogged about this, but might talk about it briefly, that Wes and I bought a Roku box, that's Roku, from Netflix, which is this little set-top box, and it is the size of maybe like a box set of CDs I'm showing with my hands, which, again, can't see on the podcast. Okay, but so there's really tiny. It's a one-time fee of $99, and you set it up at home, and if you've got Wi-Fi at home, what it does is everything that's in your Watch Instantly queue on Netflix, you can watch on your television.
Oh, cool.
And you can pause, and you can fast forward, and you can rate it on the TV. And so a lot of the things that are on your queue that are available for Play Instant, I mean, I have a ridiculous Netflix queue. Basically now when I want to add something to my Netflix queue, I have to delete something else because there's a limit of 500
items. 500,
yeah. And I've got all 500 spots filled. And the stuff that's on your queue that is available Play Instantly, there's a little box next to it, like a button that says play, there's now, if you look at Netflix, you've got two queues. One is for Watch Instant and one is for your regular queue. And so you can add things and browse the Watch Instant. Some of the stuff a lot of the stuff for Watch Instant is just garbage, but there's a lot of good stuff on there. Last night, I finished watching The Lady from Shanghai, which is Orson Welles' Rita Hayworth film.
Oh, yeah. They have lots of, I think, the good stuff are older movies.
Yeah.
But I did watch El Orfanato, or The Orphanage.
Oh, yeah.
Was on watch instantly.
Oh, okay.
That I watch on the laptop.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's the thing. A lot of people who are Mac users can't use the Watch Instant.
Anyone who's a Mac user.
Yes.
Unless you have, I think, the Windows operating system
running. Actually, I thought...
But I'm not sure.
I'd heard from someone, even then, you can't do it on a Mac. Like, you just can't on a Mac. But anyway, so it's... For $99, we had read some reviews about it, and basically the New York Times said, for $99, it's a no-brainer if you really like to watch stuff. So, like, last night I watched a fairly cruddy film by Jennifer Westerfeld, who's the writer and the star of Kissing Jessica Stein. It's called Ira and Abby, and it wasn't particularly good. But anyway.
That's what I noticed about lots of the Watch Instantly. They're rated, like, 2 or 2.5 stars.
There's some, like, serious... Like, all the trauma films are on there now, so all the, you know, Toxic Avenger and all that.
I mean, those.
I have friends who worked for them, like, a million years ago, but,
They're really bad.
Yes, and, really bad. They're almost bad the so bad that they're good,
yeah.
But there's a lot of stuff that's just simply so bad. It's bad. But there's great stuff, too. Wes and I watched 7-Year Itch this week on it, and there's, like, I've got, well, I crocheted Nosferatu, so I put Nosferatu on there, and The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, and all sorts of good, you know, good old stuff. But some new stuff pops up, too. Like, while I still had the disc at home of Before the Devil Knows You're Dead, it ended up on Play Instant. So you got to keep your eye on it, because they do some new stuff, good stuff comes up.
Yeah.
But it's kind of hit or miss. But if you have, I'd say, some pretty diverse interest in your watching habits, then there's stuff in there for you. But,
they have lots of documentaries on there, too.
Yeah, that's true. I've been watching a lot of documentaries through it. But we saw a couple films in the theater that I wanted to talk about. Wes and I went to go see Surfwise a couple weeks ago, which is this really interesting documentary about the Paskowitz family, which... was this family that in the late 50s, the father, who was a physician, decided that, you know, he was going to drop out of the rat race, and he and his wife took their camper van on the road to just go travel the world and surf. And they had 9 children, all living in a 24-foot camper van. I know. And they would just, like... go wherever the waves took them, or he, I guess, would, you know, take jobs for areas in need of physicians and work a little bit and get some money and then go hang out and surf. And so at first it's, I mean, I don't want to give anything away about it, but it's a lot more complex and interesting than just this, like, wacky surfing family. And it was a really great film to watch. If you enjoy documentaries, it's just one of those incredible stories, this fascinating family, and a very interesting cast of characters, so that was great. On Saturday, we took the kids to see WALL-E, and I'm a big Pixar fan, and I like animated films, I like children's films. Wes and I used to go see all the new animated films before we had kids, so now we have the excuse that we're taking the children to see the movies. But I would go see a Pixar film anyway, and I love all the Pixar films. But this was really outstanding. I mean, it's just a beautiful movie. It's the visuals, the conceptualization of the whole thing is so well done. It's full of, it's kind of funny since it's like animated pretend robots. Like, there's nothing real in the film, and yet it's full of more genuine sentiment than like 98% of films that are made. And it's just a really wonderful, wonderful movie. It's so good. I can't believe I'm going to say this. It is so good that Wes and I are thinking about going to see it again without the kids on Thursday. Because I feel like with Pixar films, there's so much happening on the screen that you miss a lot. And that it was just so rich in terms of the world that they had created. Mm-hmm. And it was just funny, and it's sweet, and it's just really wonderful, and it has a
gush,
lot...
Gush, 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 gush,
gush. Gush, gush, gush. It's the best movie I've seen this year, I think. And, awesome. I saw There Will Be Blood this last, 2 weeks ago, which was a great movie, but it didn't move me the way that WALL-E did. I mean, I should have talked about There Will Be Blood, too, but, I mean, yeah, go see it. It's really great. But I should mention There Will Be Blood, because I think the only film that was up for, you know, big Oscar consideration that I hadn't managed to squeeze in before the Oscars, and I really love Paul Thomas Anderson, seen all of his other films, so.
So who's in that one?
Daniel Day-Lewis, who won the Oscar for it. And
I don't have a TV, so I don't keep up on award shows and things like that. So,
but it was another just... It is a really stunning film. It's... I thought it was going to be sort of a epic, scenery-chewing kind of performance from Daniel Day-Lewis, sort of like Bill the Butcher in Gangs of New York, which I know you hated. Yeah, I didn't really like that film either, but I like his performance in it. But so what stunned me about it was, because I think usually Oscars go to, like, the big performances and, you know, someone who, you know, is, you know, is playing someone who's a foot and a half taller than they are and, you know, just something where it's this huge transformation. And in this film, his character is actually really taciturn, and there's the first half of the film, there's hardly any dialogue, and kind of like WALL-E, actually, where, you know, the exposition, and you learn so much about the characters in near silence. And so the cinematography and the music are all really wonderful, and it was just interesting, because I think, I enjoy P.T. Anderson, but I think he is probably most often guilty of excess in his films. And this is really reserved. And I thought Daniel Day-Lewis was really reserved, which is what made the performance really powerful. So, also a really nice one if you haven't managed to see that one yet. I'll stop talking about movies now.
Yeah, I don't know if I saw, like, any... Like, I love the Coen brothers, and I didn't even see No Country for Old Men. I kept meaning to see it.
Yeah.
But, it's whatever. Great. I'll see it. I'll probably buy it just because it's Coen Brothers.
Yeah, it's great.
After The Lady Killers and whatever that other crappy one was they came out with, like, I think this is a return for them.
Yeah, what was the other one?
Oh, Intolerable Cruelty.
That was
George
cute.
George Clooney and Catherine Zeta-Jones.
That was cute.
I mean, it's not Raising Arizona.
No, it's not Raising Arizona, but it was a nice nod to those sort of the screwball comedies of the 30s and 40s on which it was modeled, and I totally love George Clooney, and I can't help it, and I really enjoyed it, so.
Yeah. I prefer, like,
not a classic. I mean, I've never watched... Oh, that's something that's available. Oh, no, that's not on Roku. That's on Hulu. I just discovered Hulu, HULU.com is another thing I'm addicted to, where there's a lot of free content, television and film available. So I usually watch it use it to watch television shows that I either missed when they're on regular TV or they're on marginal cable channels that I don't get, like FX or USA. But they just put Raising Arizona up so that you can watch
it. I love it.
I love that movie. And that's probably one of the...
such a beautiful baby. I love it.
That's a great movie. Maybe like so top 10 films of all time. That is such a, you know, original, fantastic, funny, sweet...
Weird.
Wonderful, weird. Yeah, great movie. Yeah, because Big Lebowski's on there too, which I hadn't watched in... I hadn't watched since it was in the theater. And I finally sat down and watched that again
recently.
Yeah,
because I have that. I have lots of the Coen Brothers movies.
So there's fun stuff on there. Right. Oh, have you been reading anything lately?
Not really.
No, not me either. Oh, well. It's hot. I don't know. No, I finally picked up Arsonist Guide to Writers Home in New England again, but I've only been managing to read about 10 pages a day. Oh, and my older son has been reading this series called... The series is Percy Jackson and the Olympians, and it's the first book's called The Lightning Thief.
Mm-hmm.
And he's read the first three. We're waiting to get the fourth book from Amazon. He keeps pushing it into my hands, insisting that we read it, because he says it's really funny. And I noticed it's about this kid who discovers he's the son of Poseidon.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's Poseidon. Anyway, that he's a demigod, but it's like contemporary. And then he discovers that, so you get this weird mix of like contemporary stuff and Greek mythology.
That sounds
so it's kind
cool.
of it is kind of it looks cute, like kind of very comic, a lot of wink stuff in it.
Yeah,
but so the second chapter of the first book I noticed is called something to the effect of like Knitting the Socks of Death, and I was like, oh, knitting, yay, maybe I should read this, because it's their interpretation of the fates, who, you know,
that's
like,
cute,
who cut the thread. And so yeah. But it's interesting, because he's really interested in Greek mythology, and so it kind of tied it in sort of a fun, kitschy, contemporary sort of way.
Yeah, I think you're more likely to remember that stuff, too, if it's something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So just, I mean, I did all the myth stuff in college, but whatever if I don't remember. Like, I don't remember half of it.
It's confusing. They're all just sleeping with and killing one another, so it does get a little mixed up. I'm assuming there's a lot less sex in this kid version of it, because, you know, when you go through Greek mythology, it's like, basically, you know...
Zeus having sex with lots of
everyone. Everyone he can get his hands on.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I did pick up two books from the library. I just haven't read them yet. Ethan Frome.
Oh, yeah.
By Edith Wharton. And I Am Legend. Okay. By the guy who did that movie.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I'm not huge into the graphic novel, so I know Wes read it.
But. Well, it's the story and then a couple of short stories that he wrote. So Noah read it, like, in 2 hours because he's super fast.
Well, I was going to say, Ethan Frome, you'll probably read in about 2 hours, really too. I think I read it once in a single afternoon. It's short and quite gripping, too, so.
Yeah, so I just haven't gotten around to those.
Cool. So, I think that wraps everything up.
That's it.
Aaron's looking sleepy, and I'm getting really warm, so I think that wraps
about
things up
half
for us.
Half movie, half knitting content this week.
Maybe next week we can do a little more knitting content and less movie content, okay. So.
I wanted to say thank you to everybody who's leaving comments on our blog and the lovely iTunes reviews.
Yeah.
That's so nice.
It's been
thank
so great.
You.
Wes keeps looking at how many people are subscribed to the feed, and I think he's kind of amazed. Like, first he's like, oh my gosh, there's 92 people subscribed to your feed. And now he's like, there's 398 people subscribed. And I think he just can't believe there's that many people out there who care to listen to us talk about our knitting, but really, honey, they do. They like us. They really like us.
So thank you.
Yes, thank you.
And I'll talk to you again in a couple weeks.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.